nearly been over backwards. He has been over backwards. And my hand on his head, and we're just going back.
He understands you, and He knows how to solve your problem. And He can answer it. It's just they don't get too serious for Him. Oh, I'm so glad I can recommend such a God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the good Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise the good Lord. Let's talk to the Lord again, would you? Shall we pray? Oh, holy God.
Glory, my God.
In the name of Jesus Christ. How I pray sincerely that heaven would kiss the earth here tonight. Our presence of God would overshadow these souls. Oh, Lord, bow down, my dear. Speak this faith. Make your will known. Now, Lord, let us not fail you. Let the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, open their hearts. Don't let them be deceived by the enemy.
Name of Jesus.
I will show you from the Bible, and I'm talking to this soul tonight. I will show you from the Bible the answer to your problem. If you want it, if you will believe it, this is what you are hungry for. This is what would solve your problem. It is so thoroughly simple that the majority of the world, religious world included, simply stumbles all over it. One of the great mistakes that people make about God, His program, His plan, is to overcomplicate it. The devil purposely makes you think that it's overly complicated. Look at the tremendous expense that they go to build these mammoth cathedrals. And whether you realize it or not, they are trying with lumber, stone, glass, and paint to give the human heart the effect that it needs. I receive sometimes this magazine that shows the different new modern buildings they're using for church buildings, and it will occasionally describe what effect this is supposed to have. This is supposed to give a certain effect on the mind. Well, isn't that a pathetic thing that they are trying to build you a building that would answer your problem? It almost becomes as it was in the Old Testament, gods of gold and wood and hay and stubble. That's not the answer, friend. You cannot find the answer to your problem in a piece of wood. You don't find the answer in a stone carved with any type image.
Hallelujah.
You could never find the solution to your problem in a set of beads. There is no answer to the deep longing of your soul in a painted window with some religious picture on it. That will not answer your problem. But multiplied millions of dollars are spent each year trying to bring a certain effect to the human heart. But all the time, my God says, whether under a pine tree on the hills of Mississippi, or it matters not, I can solve your problem.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
And friend, it's not imaginary either. It's real. It's been tested. And it'll work. I'm so glad that I can recommend it to you.
Thank God, hallelujah.
People, I read recently, the poor things, I feel so sorry for them. Not here just to run people down, criticize them. They don't know any better. Have a clipping out of the paper of, well, they have a new type tranquilizer now. And supposed to really be doing the work. It's a rock, piece of stone. You can buy them any size or any color. Anywhere from $5 to $500. You buy them in a little case like you would buy a same case that a watch would come in. Nice, beautiful cases. And you buy it to fit your hand. The size to fit your hand. Using it considerably in California. And what you do is you buy your little rock, the color you want, you like, the size, fit your hand, you take it home with you, and you sit down in your sofa, on your sofa at home, and you take the little rock and you squeeze it real tight and think of something pleasant, and it just does the work. And do you know that there are human beings who pay $500 for a rock? They have taken so much note to try to answer their problem until it's no longer helping. So they grasp at anything. And to think that I've got the answer tonight.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah. And it's not imaginary.
Okay.
It's as real could possibly be.
That's right.
Oh. And I could scream sometime when I think that I can't get this message to him. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 15, to begin reading. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, talking about Jesus, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. Oh, the spirit has not changed at all. Human beings are the same. The devil's just like he always was. Attitudes are the same. Mind you, Jesus Christ has been healing some folk, doing great works among them. As a result of this, he receives the worship and honor that's due him. And because of this worship, the religious leaders of that day were sore displeased. Oh, they didn't like it. Stop all of this noise, please. Stop all of this emotionalism, please. Do you know that there is no difference in that day and our day? If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, go down to one of the big churches downtown, Laurel, and try to worship God just like these folks were.
Right.
I don't say just like we were. We are. Do it just like I have just read they were doing.
Right.
And see what happens to you.
Right.
Just recently in Houston, not far from where I live, a a Methodist preacher pastored a church, and one of the ladies in the church was playing the organ one night, and she got so stirred and hungry that she began to scream out and praise God and love the Lord. And that bunch got so outdone with her and blamed the pastor for it and fired her.
Glory to God.
Brother, if you don't think you won't bring fire from the religious world by a little noise, just produce a little.
Right. Hallelujah.
Let me read this scripture again. I'm afraid you didn't understand it. And then we'll go from here. The chief priests and scribes, that's religious leaders, saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, say, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. Why? Because they were thoroughly ignorant of God's divine plan. Thoroughly. They were trying to find God in some massive ceremony, some great ritual, some long rope fella standing on a street corner praying all day. Overcomplicating God's plan. It's not that complicated. It's simple. The prophet said, a highway shall be there, and a way. And a wayfaring man, though a fool, cannot err therein. It's just that plain. It's that easy to see if you want to see. Weary soul, let me show you what God wants out of you tonight. Yes, it is. Now, listen to the Master. First of all, they said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Do something about this. And Jesus saith unto them, this is his answer, yea, have ye never read, you scholars, you fellows with the DDs behind your name, you fellows that claim to be so educated, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise.
Hallelujah.
Well, let's stumble over that and think there's not a thing involved in that scripture. There's nothing worth reading there. I'll go to the next one. Looking for something complicated. Looking for something now. Oh, they could put a big long word beside it. Friend, he didn't make it that way. I'm glad that he made it just like he did. Now, in the midst of a religious world, and we are in one, more church going has ever been, more church buildings ever known, and all of it, they're scratching and scraping and trying to find God in some strange, far-fetched formula. Some, they even trying to find him on the slide rule. They're trying to punch their calculator. And Russia sent a fellow up, and he's circled around the earth a while and said he didn't find him. And friend, you don't find him in Sputnik number one or two or no other spot. He's not to be found in some deep, deep mathematical formula. God is just simply this. Listen to Jesus Christ. Listen to him. Let's listen to the simple words he uses. Listen. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Listen to him again. As the disciple beat his own bottle, began to be critical. Began to be critical because the little children broke ranks. I thought about it tonight as God began to talk to me about this. I thought about this little girl that came up here tonight. I actually believe God allowed that little girl to show us the lesson that I'm fixing to show you. Some of the children broke ranks. And God were close to Jesus. And began to talk to him in their little children language and probe and hear. And the disciples became vexed and began to shove him back. He said, suffer little children to come unto me. And for me we are not. For a son, if it now. For of such is the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Wait a minute. He's not through yet. Simplifying it. I can't listen to his words simply that fall out of his mouth like this. Except you become at once in a man, an educated man, except you graduate from some six seminars, except you graduate with a degree behind your name, except you go to school and learn all of the deep formulas. Huh? Is that what he said?
Hallelujah.
What did he say?
Hallelujah.
What did Jesus Christ say? I want to know. Except you become the apostle explained it a little more thoroughly. The difference. He said it in love. The truth. In wisdom. The man. Now, what's the difference? What's the purpose of this? You see, God don't want you to be as a child in wisdom. When I say wisdom, I don't mean earthly learning. That's just pure common sense. But there are definitely some things that you must have the spirit and attitude of a child. And there's where the rest of the religious world parts and leaves and goes this direction, and God's church goes this direction. They are unwilling to become what a little child is in certain spirits and attitudes. Just the other night in Houston, we had a man come to the altar. And he received the Holy Ghost. And God knocked him out on the floor, right, Jim? The grown man on the floor. I saw his wife sitting on, you know, I'm not ladies don't get mad. I always think
the women of America are becoming harder and harder to reach. The last 5 years of my evangelistic ministry, I've seen more men in the altar than I have women. It used to be exactly opposite. I have seen an altar full of men and their wives. Don't ask me to explain all of it. I don't know unless they just simply rebelled so long against God's plan so their hearts are becoming hard. I don't know what can answer it. But I saw this lady sitting on the back seat that I had never met her before. And her husband had the floor kicking, talking in tongues.
Hallelujah.
I could tell she was nervous. Oh, she was really mixed up. And she had a frown. And I could tell she was not happy. Oh, I usually always try to make everybody feel welcome. The church is just and happy as possible. So I was back to talk. She wasn't ready to receive much present. And I asked her a few questions. I said, have you ever had the Lord? Oh, yes, I've had the Lord. I've got it. But she said, I've never recognized it. I said, you didn't get it.
Hallelujah.
I always try to keep everybody laughing.
Glory!
So I screamed as loud as I could, but I was telling her, you didn't get what I got.
Hallelujah.
I said, I wish you had it though.
Hallelujah.
Well, I don't want it if that's the way you have it. Do you know that that's not an isolated thing?
Right.
The world stumbles on, groping, squeezing their rocks, taking their fertilizers and their shots, and are looking at plenty of weapons and images that are tough to be, trying to find what they're longing for. When Jesus Christ said, you're going to get like a little child, or you're not giving it by grace.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Friend, you just will make up your mind to come off your little high horse and get the stinking pride out of it.
Amen.
And hold yourself to the mighty hand of God.
Hallelujah.
If that longing soul of yours is ever satisfied, it's going to be satisfied with what I'm telling you now.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Got your Bible handy? 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Get it ready. And I ask for it. Such a bit of comfort. Now let me give you another scripture that Jesus Christ himself speaks. We're taking the words of Jesus for that. He stood one day and prayed. And said, Father, I thank you that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. For even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. You mean it's good that it be hid? No. But hid from the wise and prudent. Listen to this scripture. By wisdom, the world knew not God.
Amen.
Friend, you're not going to find God
complicated things.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He reveals his plan to them.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
You know what makes it complicated? A woman in Greensboro became hungry for the Holy Ghost. She didn't know what all of this was about, and she found tongue-talking in the Bible and called her preacher out to explain it. And he brings into her home, mind you, a big blackboard. And with his chalk, and he starts writing a bunch of Greek, quoting a bunch of Greek, drawing some pictures, and trying to explain away the tongues the Bible mentions. By wisdom, he knew not God.
Right.
His little Greek lesson meant nothing. The only thing it meant was he has never, never become as a little child.
Amen.
He has never been the baby he needs to be.
Amen.
He is so full of his wisdom and prudence that God just puts the blind over him and says, I'm sorry, son, you not what I want. I want that humble person.
Hallelujah.
I want that.
Now, look at the nature of the child.
You folks, I haven't met you, but would you please pardon me if I remind us of this baby?
Do you think that God was embarrassed the whole time?
Huh? I imagine it embarrassed his parents. But that's about all.
Right.
Why,
that? Give one of them a coffee.
I don't care if President Johnson was there. If it was the real thrill of their lives, that color that they've been awoke so long, I guarantee you that he'd be jumping up and down and their hands racking, and there would be some hands waving, and they would love mommy and daddy, and they would just be so excited, and they wouldn't care who's on. And on the other hand, if they're disappointed and need something, they can turn that little human on and have Peter there and do that quick. And the faith they have is amazing.
Preacher friend of mine was telling me about his little girl who came in his office and said, Daddy, I want a nickel. And before he had a chance to answer her, she said, and Daddy, you know you've never let me down. I said, did she get a nickel? He said, what do you think? She got it. Do you remember President Kennedy? Pictures ever so often would come out. Here's the president in a very important meeting. Some of the chief fellows around in the class are sitting in the big old room. And all of a sudden, John's gone crazy. And that's what they call it. Kennedy's boy. And walks up today, the president of the United States, in a serious business meeting. And just simply walks in and gets Kennedy to stop everything he's doing. Do you think that is better, John? Do you think he paid any attention to the chiefs of state? The advisors, the whatever? That?
Why, it didn't matter to him. He won't talk to Daddy.
Thank God. Now, don't think that Jesus was using idle words when he said, you must become as a little child. He's got to have something in his mind. And he's hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Something's in his mind.
Hallelujah.
Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid him not, for of such is the kingdom. He's got something in his mind.
Hallelujah.
And now then, to the religious leaders that moaning and groaning and complaining and mad about a little worship in a church service,
as he
uses again, says, have you not read that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has God perfected his praise?
Glory to God.
The bad things of the babies is going to be saved
a thousand times. It simply means somebody's going to get left a child enough to get God.
Right. Hallelujah.
Corinthians, I believe. I believe it's the first chapter. And let's look at what Paul said about this great church. Now, you've been looking. You've been hungry. You've been disturbed, confused. But God's fixing to show you his plan. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, begin reading, if you would, Brother Lawrence, when you get it for me. At 25th verse.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man.
Now, if there's such a thing as the foolishness of God, it would be wiser than man. We know. All right.
And the weakness of God is stronger than man.
The weakness of God, if he has any, would be so great and above man that we would never recognize it as a weakness.
For you see your calling, brethren.
You see your calling, brethren.
How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
Are you listening? Not many wise, not many old. Now, does that mean God don't love?
Right.
But the thing is, Brother Clark, they never get in on the frequency of his call. They're too high about it. They're too far away from it. They're not in this direction. God's not going to step by his plan for anybody.
Amen.
He don't have a religion for the rich and one for the poor.
Right.
He's got one religion for everybody.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Not many. Now that didn't say not many. It said just not many.
Right.
Occasionally. I think we have a senator in Texas who has the Holy Ghost. That's one I know of in the whole United States. We may have a state representative in Louisiana that has the Holy Ghost. Maybe you know more, but that's the only one I know in the United States. Do you have any senators in your church? Governors are, well, I'm trying to show you that God's Bible is true, that not many wise, not many noble are gone.
Right.
Now, we have a man in Miami, Florida, who is the chief of detectives, or was, at that time. Chief of detectives of that city, and several hundred men are here. Spoke about a Bible for 13 weeks, I believe. Do you know why? I'm not saying this to disrespect anyone or throw off on anyone, but other preachers have come by and really tried to talk to prosper in front of him. They got around and talked as much lawyer knowledge as they had, which was very limited, but they tried to talk that. You know what I did? I shouted all around. Well, they shouted only as they got the way. Spoke to him when he was handy, told him the truth when I could. And he never will forget it. I don't remember. But he declared that I was preaching one
knows. God knows that he was married 13 weeks and didn't move. And he weighed about 260 or 70 pounds of medicine. And he declared that one night I stopped and said, well, that's there, I ain't going to hell, you big old fat man, you. And he said, I'd be only fat from that. Well, I don't remember that, but he declared to say this, I guess it's right. But I'll never forget the night that he was around. Friend, he wasn't coming in no chief of detective language.
Hallelujah.
He was coming in the language of a baby.
Oh,
and God, he didn't even know how to put it.
Yeah.
As good as it ought. He come up to me and said, look, preacher, don't we love this in the least? Oh, the revival. He said, would you stay one more week? Said, I'm seriously thinking about making a change. One Sunday morning, he came up and said, look, would you get the tub ready? Will you let the chief of detectives learn what's talking about a magistrate? Get the tub ready. I want to be baptized.
Hallelujah.
He received the Holy Ghost in Bay City, Texas, sitting on a bench. God had showed me in a dream that he was in my revival, sitting on a bench, talking in tongues. And I called him from Bay City. I said, Chief, come on up here. You're going to get the Holy Ghost in this revival. God showed it to me in a dream. And he drove all the way from Miami, Florida, to Bay City, nearly somewhere around 1,700 miles. And he was sick. And came in there, sat down on a bench, and was sitting there, and the Holy Ghost fell on him.
Thank God.
You have to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the other.
Glory to God.
This is what he said. That I'm not saying it, going to be to sound like something big and great or brag. But he said, I could have joined the biggest church in Miami, and they'd have been very glad to have me. But he said, I'm telling you the truth. Very glad to have me. But he said, I'm telling you the truth.
Hallelujah.
That when I saw this people and their worship, I found out this is what my heart has longed for all of these years.
Thank God.
Oh, Brother Lawrence, and all of his education, all of his rubbing shoulders, his brother was a district judge, and all of that. But inside that heart, there remained a childish tenderness to God that God could touch.
Hallelujah.
And friend, that's what you're going to have if you ever get my God in your heart.
Right.
You may shake preacher's hands till the folk wear calluses on them. Wear calluses on them, and you won't get no Jesus. It's going to be the condition and attitude of your heart that will bring him into the
God. Hallelujah.
Now let me show you.
Thank God.
We don't.
But God has chosen the foolish things of the world.
God has chosen what?
The foolish things.
Mount buildings, great cathedrals, doctors of divinity, great chief priests, some of these educated cardinals. God has chosen the foolish things of the world.
Confound the wise.
Hallelujah.
Whatever. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised.
Despised things.
Have God chosen?
Lord, every thing no more than ever I must be in the right thing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, no, you never doubt it. I've got business.
Hallelujah.
What do you think I have been in a time of true Texas. You know what they were, we were there for? They were trying to of our preachers for disturbing the peace. Simply worshiping God in a church. The poor fellows did everything they could to cooperate. When the man happened to be on the wrong side, taking this man down, and of course, naturally, that man was just a blowing that man out there, and that man with him. So the preacher took the man, put him in another one, and tried to cooperate, do everything but stop counting. Friend, it's going to take something besides force to stop me.
Lawyer, don't know how they hired one.
The old boy that brought the charges, he made the statement. He said, as long as I live, I'll never bring another charge against him.
Oh, God. Oh, really, God. Hallelujah.
Thank God, one of the dead in his church sitting over there enjoying every minute of it. Hovered out, said, would you sing out of my way? Oh, God, mercy. Thank you, Lord. We want to judge very carefully that that's all my brain is. Sorry, sir, you asked us to be at least modest today. But if we say that, I wouldn't want what you want to have. But we come in. The ladies should work 10 or 2. After we sung out, we decided they hired a lawyer. We just as well paid for it. And we made up an offering in the courtroom. The judge gave us $1. And one of the deputies gave us 10. And we went on our way.
Hey! Oh,
somebody get a life to know it. Somebody get a life to know it. Oh, they don't like that. They think worship has to be as quiet as it can be, or it won't be deep. Friend, whoever told you that a little old morgue was, and the quietness of a morgue was deep worship?
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Maybe I should clarify myself tonight. I don't really believe in all of that loud screaming and kicking and guitar playing and tongue-talking and running out and jumping up and down and falling out, bumping against one another and kicking you. That's funeral. But this is not a funeral.
Glory! Hallelujah!
sit there like a nut on the log and say you love the Lord and wouldn't move hardly a blink an eye. Say, I love the Lord. The book teaches me that you've got to become a little child. If you're somebody saddened, brother, let's thank
you. Oh, amen. Hallelujah.
Carried me to a little bowl about that big, sitting on the deck.
because his prisoners was loose and was thinking to commit suicide,
And Paul screams at the man and says, don't do thyself no harm. We're all here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And the world takes that and says, that's all you need to do. They never read the next verse. They don't read that Paul went home with a man and preached until midnight and took him and baptized him in Jesus' name. They never go beyond the point. the wreck your soul needs. Read it.
Oh, with staggering lips. Something you don't understand. All of your chins are shaking. Your tongues are acting funny. You've been a saying Jesus. You've been a praying. You've been a crying. You've been repenting. God, I'm sorry for the sins. You've become as a little baby. You're a little child now. Whatever you want to do with me, God, do it. And you're saying Jesus. The first thing you know, your tongue's saying something besides Jesus. And it's rattling. And it's sounding funny. And immediately pride rises up and says, you better straighten that out. That sounds ridiculous. You know what? When you do it, you just then stop God from doing the work He wants to do in your heart. It's simple. Read it again.
For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people.
All right, so whom He said,
this is the wrath.
What? Stammering lips and another tongue?
Right.
Is the wrath.
Wherewith we may call the weary to rest.
Oh, weary soul.
Hallelujah.
This is it.
Amen.
Some of it is the simple, the religious world just walks right on by. There's the rest. There's the refreshing. And they go on down their old buildings and the other things, of course, in their religious rituals. I was in Columbia, South America, watching those poor helpless people climb the mountain 1,000 feet at times on special feast days on their head of the knee, trying to find peace in their soul by bowing in front of an image, climbing until their hands were bleeding and their knees bleeding on the stone, trying to find peace. Oh, I want to go to the mountain and take from this little three men.
Hallelujah.
I read this out there in the morning. Get away from the tomb and the crucifixion. Get out there from the resurrection part of it.
Thank God.
What specializes on his death? I believe in his death. Nobody else believes anymore in his death.
Hallelujah.
But then what do we say to ourselves? Then this religion is another that Paul said that. And he waited.
Amen.
We are still there, aren't we?
There, standing there, sitting there, laying down, it don't matter what we're doing here.
is not worth to me. So God comes out and so giving it up.
Oh, wait.
Right?
Satisfied, almost satisfied.